Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action. Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do.
It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can?
What can I do to serve you? What's the biggest pain point? Where are you lacking clarity? What should we talk about?
Honestly, I was mainly just calling to make sure I'm on the right path with everything. I had an employee about probably 3 months ago who lasted, you know, about a month before he found another job. He was kind of in between jobs with his family and friends. Now, I put him on full time and paying him, you know, $600 a week salary, you know, to keep him, you know, a steady income for him going. And so it's been him going. I'm just making sure I'm on the right path with everything, you know, anything I need to be doing, maybe. I don't know, maybe take the business part a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was the month that you broke away and actually did this? Can you remind me? What month was it?
I think it was April.
Okay. Did you have the full month of April?
No, I only did like one job, I think, in April. Okay. From the store website.
May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Okay. So that's what we're looking at. Okay. And did you have any written goals going into it, or were you just kind of nervously going into survival mode trying to just...
My main goal was to just enough to survive, and I really wanted a cargo trailer, and I wanted a wrap on my truck and my trailer just look real nice, you know what I mean? And I got that. So I feel like that was a goal I met.
Do you have kids? Are you married?
Yes, I'm married. I have a little 1.5-year-old girl.
Awesome. Love it. Okay. All right. So the goal thing is a big deal. And so what we need to do is not just analyze what you did this year, but really set our sights on what needs to happen next year. So talk about some areas where you crushed it, and then tell me a couple things that you really felt completely inadequate at, whether it was sales or getting back with people or really being a leader to your employees or paperwork. What was an obvious area of your business that was just crappier than it should be? And what are you wanting to do next year in terms of growth and revenue?
Let's see. I do a decent follow-up with Syngium. I set everybody on a sequence. And I started doing, you know, with the gratitude effect, sending, you know, my real good customer to send probably about 4 sets of brownies out. And I had a real good customer that referred somebody else, ended up being a couple $1,000 worth of job.
Nice.
I sent them the 5 cookie packs or the 10 cookie packs. As far as picking up the phone and calling, I'm not doing a good job at that. I haven't called anybody back.
Do you avoid that because you don't like doing it?
Kind of. So I don't mind. I wouldn't mind doing it if it worked. I just had trouble, like, with my dad's business. When I picked up the phone and started calling people, it was a lot of took 20 calls to, you know, potentially book one job. And I don't know. I guess it's worth doing. But I don't see, like, I don't know why. I feel like the repeat rate, like, I know it's hard because it's only been, you know, around for 6 months. But I feel like the repeat rate, like, is kind of sucky. You know, I think my prices are a little higher, maybe. I don't know. I feel like I'm doing people a good job, and I just feel like I'm not getting a lot of, you know, repeat business.
Well, I mean, what's your primary service? What's the bulk of your revenue?
Window cleaning.
Okay. And out of every $100 that's made by your business, is like 80% of it window cleaning or more? Or is it like 100%?
No, I would say, 50%. It's hard to tell because I do... Basically, my two bulks are window cleaning and pressure washing. And then gutter cleaning a little less. Yeah, house washing and driveways.
Do you sell your services in a package? Or do you sell
a la carte? Yeah, I did. Well, it just depends. I do a la carte, but then if somebody, I'll call it a cleaning package, and I'll give them a couple little things free if I'm doing it like that.
You need to sell packages on every single estimate you do forever and ever from now on, okay? Every time. If someone calls you for a gutter cleaning quote, every time... give them a price for every service you offer and a package pricing for packages. And there's a couple reasons why you want to do this. Number one, a certain percentage of people will always just pick the most expensive package because they're weird and they do that. And that's the truth. They will. And then the other reason it's good is you're going to have all that data that you can keep in your CRM, and we're going to be able to use that later. I mean, imagine 3 years down the road when you have, you know, 1,500 people's house fully quoted for every service you offer, and you'll be able to pull a list in your CRM of people who you haven't seen in 12 months who have never had house washing, and then you have the pricing right there. It's very powerful. So that's just a little practical tip for you. The other thing is to get a higher repeat rate, and you're right, it's way too early to even know if you have a bad repeat rate. You might be panicking for nothing. But here's some things you can do. Number one is you can start scheduling people's next cleanings right when you do their first cleaning. And some people decline, which is fine. All sales is based on baseball, right? You don't have to bat 1,000% to be in the Hall of Fame. You only need to have a 300 batting average to be in the Hall of Fame. So part of your process is, all right, Mrs. Jones, everything's all set. We're good. Would you like to do a walk around? Whatever your ending process is to get paid, but add to it a schedule. So, you know, typically most people get their windows cleaned every 6 months. And what we can do is I can actually pre-schedule your next cleaning and you get a 10% off coupon. Of course, we'll call to confirm if you need to adjust the time. But I wanted to confirm with you, is 6 months the time frame you want? Or do you want me to pre-book your next cleaning for 12 months or whatever? You give them two or three choices that both work for you. Do you want to do a 6, 9, or 12 month pre-booking for the next cleaning? And some will say, oh, no, I'll just call you guys. You say, okay, perfect. That works as well. Thank you so much. But a portion of them will book right in the spot.
You see, I don't do that. Yeah, I don't try to get them back on. I need to, you know, but I don't do that.
It's a couple sentences. Write it out on a piece of paper. Print it off. Look at yourself in the mirror while you brush your teeth a couple times. And literally start doing it every single time forever and ever and ever and ever. It's free. And you'll make more money. So it's just part of the process. It doesn't really take any more time, like maybe like 60 seconds or something. That's one thing. The other thing is using the phone effectively. And so the phone does work. Maybe you're not good in the phone, or you feel uncomfortable, or they can feel that you're uncomfortable. I don't know. One way you can figure that out is by recording some of your calls. And if you do that, send them to me. I have a lot of experience in phone sales. In fact, before I started my cleaning business, I was a top producer in two different phone sales environments. And there's little nuggets and things you can do to crush it on the phone. And the way that you use a phone is really important. For example, and this call is being recorded, so I can send you a link because I know I'm talking really fast. Let me make sure it's being recorded. Yes, it is. Okay. Is when you leave a message, you don't leave a message like everybody else leaves a message. You don't say, hey, it's just calling to see if you need any more service. You know, if you do, please give us a call. Here's our office number. You don't do that. You say, you know, hey, Mr. Jones, sorry I missed you. This is Josh. Not a big deal. I'll give you a call back tomorrow. I just wanted to connect with you briefly. If you have a minute, give us a call at our office, blah, 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 blah. Otherwise, I'll talk to you tomorrow. That's how you leave a message. The reason is they have to call you back, or they know that you're not going to stop calling, but you're not doing it in a creepy, rude, harassing way. It's like a really servicey, like, hey, Mr. Jones, how are you? Had a note to give you a call. Super sorry I missed you. I know you're busy. No big deal, though. I'll make it easy on you. I'll just give you a call back tomorrow. Here's our number in case you have a minute, but otherwise I'll talk to you tomorrow. They can't get mad at you for that, right? But it puts pressure on them to engage with you. The other thing is when you're doing outbound calls, is you need to have a reason you're calling. You don't let them decide, like, hey, so you want to pay us some money and stuff to do some more stuff? What do you think? We kind of need some money, so what do you got? You got to have a reason for the call. So whether it's quarterly calls or you call everybody every 6 months or whatever, there should be like a reason. Like, hey, sorry to bother you. Here's the deal. We haven't seen you in over 6 months. And this coming month is our slowest season of the entire year. And so what we're doing is we're offering, you know, really significant discounts. And you're due for cleaning anyway. If we book it in the next 3 weeks, I had to at least call and offer it to you. What's your schedule look like in 2 weeks? that would be an example of an effective strategy, right? It makes sense. It's logical. It's still service oriented. And you don't ask them yes or no questions like, hey, would you like to rebook your window cleaning? You say, you need a cleaning. I already know that. That's predetermined because it's been so long. And we have this great, you know, offer because of this logical reason. So the question isn't, will you do it? The question is, what works best, mornings or afternoons? What works best for you over the next 2 weeks? What's your schedule look like? That's called an assumptive close.
That's smart.
Yeah, it's just little tweaks like that make your batting average go up. So the way you're doing it now, if you're getting 1 out of 20, that's awesome. That's better than not doing anything. But what if we could get it to 2 out of 20?
For sure.
That's a big deal, right?
Absolutely.
And it's actually a service to your clients. You gotta envision yourself as you're doing it. You are literally serving them. You're not selling them. You're not taking from them. You're not being selfish. That's why you only sell your stuff to the people that need your stuff. You don't hammer people. You don't harass them. You just build systems where you're serving. They have the dirty stuff. They like to have clean stuff. That's why you have a relationship with them. They like that you're calling them. You have it with that type of mentality, and you'll do great. And if you're not good at it and you hate it, that's okay too, because we can delegate that to someone else. Uh-huh. You'd be shocked. You can get an 18-year-old high school girl who's really bubbly and is like really, you know, A-type personality, really friendly. You train her on what we just talked about and role play for like 15 minutes and have her do it. She'll crush it for you. It'll cost you next to nothing.
That'd be awesome.
People can do phone calls if you're on them and you give them the guidelines. Like you say, okay, here's the job. Here's a list of 250 people. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to work for me for 3 days, a temporary job. I'm going to give you this much money, and you're going to call this many people today, this many people tomorrow, this many people the next day. You should be doing, you know, 40 calls an hour. Here's what you say. Then you rehearse it. You just make it real organized for them. They'll do great, and it only costs you $100, $200, something like that. Not very much. And you could book $15,000 worth of stuff.
Wow, that'd be great. You know, I have, you know, like, you can give so much information, it's hard to, like, remember it all. And I write it down, but I have it everywhere. And I guess I need to organize it in that binder you sent out. But you need to write a book or something that I can go, ooh, what the phone script, and go, ooh.
Yeah, I hear you. Part of the challenge is to change the way that you look at your own business. And the stuff, nothing I've said here today, in my opinion, is like magic fairy dust. It's not revolutionary. It's not like crazy. All we're really doing in this conversation is we're looking at stuff you're already doing, and we're making itty bitty improvements in how we do it. And when you need to be that type of mindset needs to be who you are. That's what, if I could get something into your brain, even if I couldn't teach you any more tricks and tips, you would eventually figure these things out on your own if you had the mentality of, how do I answer the phone better? How do I make an outbound call better than other people do it? Because we don't mean to, but we do things like everyone does things. We're not creative. We're not intentional about it. We just do it. You want an estimate? Okay, I'll give you an estimate. That's what everybody does. And then you write it down and you give them the price and you think you're crushing it and you're a business owner. Well, you sort of. But then Josh comes along and I answer the phone in a weird way. It's way more fun to talk to Josh's company. And then I get the estimate to you quicker because I've already decided I'm going to have a policy of the 8-hour estimate or something. And then we get there and the literature is over the top. There's a picture of your house on the estimate sheet. I tell you all these other services you didn't even know you needed. Group it in packages. I use social proof and talk about how we do the local college and we do 72 of your neighbors. And I have all these scripts that are pre-thought out and I talk to you about it. And my price is higher than your price, right? We get the job and it leaves the other guy confused. But it's not magic fairy dust. It's attention to the little things, attention to the way that you do the things you do in your business.
I'm just like, I'm sorry, I'm soaking it all in.
No, it's good. And you'll be able to listen back. Yeah. Business is hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. But just try to be careful of confusing effort with productivity. You know, it's highly productive to spend an hour listening even back to a call like this and writing stuff down into a mind map and building some scripts and some systems. It doesn't feel like you're doing anything when you work on this stuff. It feels like gross and boring and you're like, want to run. Right. And I feel that way when I do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't like have fun and have a party when I have a Word doc opened up. It's horrible, mm-hmm. but you have to be disciplined enough to know the truth. And the truth is that is the most productive multiplying effect thing ever for your business. Whenever you do that for one little area of your business, it's going to give you a reward for years and years and years. And it'll make you a dollar over and over and over again. Cause for that one 30 minute period, you were disciplined enough to sit down and build an imperfect organized system and just get it done. Right. The problem is exactly. People don't do it. Instead, you mm-hmm. run estimates all day and you run around and do flyers and you'll send gyms and then you'll do your bookkeeping and then you'll, you know, talk to your employee and then you're tired and you go to bed. And the next day you do that again. And the next day you do that again. And the next day you do that again. And there's no space in your schedule to even think clearly about all this stuff that we're talking about. You got to get in mm-hmm. control of your time. And you could even do an hour a week really being creatively thinking about these things and crush every competitor in your area. An hour a week.
It'd be awesome.
It will be awesome because you're going to do it. But you need to determine when that is. It should be Tuesdays at 11:15 to 12:15, or it should be Thursdays at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Your email gets shut off. Your phone gets shut off. Your everything shut off. You have paper and pencil in front of you, and you say, what part of my business sucks right now? And then you write it on the paper, and you say, how do I currently do it? And you kind of scribble down how you currently do it. And then you pretend that I'm sitting next to you, and you start writing down, what would Josh say to make this way cooler, better, faster, more efficient, right? And you write it down. Do that for an hour a week, and after a few months, your business is going to be just cool.
Exactly. You know, I know it's something everybody has trouble with, but it's just, I feel like, exactly like you said, you know, it feels like, I don't know if you agree with this, but it feels like the beginning of your business might be one of the harder parts is, you know, digging out of, you know, doing all the work and, you know, you're adding pieces. And I've heard you say that a lot, you know, you're basically, you know, you're wearing all the hats at first and then you're, you know, delegating, you know, getting people to, you know, fill in all those spots. Does it feel like the beginning is sort of harder than later on, or does it just keep getting, you know, harder or, you know, feel as hard? Because it feels like all the stuff you talk about, I want to have time to do it, and I want to be able to do this, but it's like I'm just, you know, like you said, I'm so busy doing everything else. You know, it just takes time to add the different pieces to be able to free up some time to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, and I know what you're saying. Let's say that you're extremely morbidly obese, and you weigh 400 pounds, okay? And you know that you're sick, and you know that you're going to die young, because you will. Die young if you weigh 400 pounds and you know it. And so you don't have an information problem. You have more of a motivation and a behavior problem, right? And so part of the reason people don't just draw a line in the sand and say, screw it, I'm going to work on my business for 2 hours every Monday and 2 hours every Friday. The reason they don't do that is a combination of feeling overwhelmed by it mixed with a lack of clarity. Like, where do I start? Like, there's been times when I work on systems where I'll stare at my computer screen for like 15 minutes and just feel like an idiot because I don't even know what to put down because I don't have clarity. I'm not clear, right? So, yes, it's hard in the beginning, just like it's hard for that obese person to go to the gym for the first time, okay? It's hard. But what happens is you get in shape, and it's not perfect and it's ugly and you still eat a donut and you still mess up. But if you're committed to the lifestyle change, if you're serious and you go to the gym or you do your systems an hour a week or 2 hours a week, what'll happen is you're going to build up some endurance. It'll get a little easier, right? But then you're going to realize, okay, now I just got all this extra skin. I'm not actually ripped, but I'm not morbidly obese anymore. I want to go to the next level. And so when you want to go to the next level, you realize that that is just as hard as it was in the first time. But there's a there's a difference. The difference is your level of confidence in yourself, your level of belief, right? Your ability to get yourself focused again. And so, you know, having a $500,000 business or $1 million business can be very hard, but it's a different kind of hard. It's hard in the way that a bodybuilder works his guts out and wants to throw up because he pushes himself so hard. Now he's already in shape, but he's still pushing himself hard. So it's still hard, quote unquote, but the mentality is totally different. to the person going to the gym for the first day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So here's the answer. You have to get good at setting and accomplishing goals. That's it. And guess what? You shouldn't have more than one or two at the most significant goals per quarter at the most.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're just one person. I mean, you can't conquer the world in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
You conquer yourself. Your first goal has to be for you to take control of your own personal calendar and say, all right, I'm not going to survive my business. I'm going to manage my business. And if I, you know, on Mondays at 3 o'clock for 2 hours, this is going to happen. That's a goal. Okay. Then you put a date. You say, I'm going to start on this day and I'm going to do it consecutively for at least 12 weeks in a row. Let's say that would be an example of an attainable, achievable, measurable goal. And then guess what? When Monday rolls around and it's 2:59, you push pause, you turn off your email, you turn off your phone, you sit down and you do it. That's you going to the gym. you might stare at your screen for 10 minutes, but you're not going to get wandering off and watching YouTube videos. You're not going to wander off into the boot camp or go in the Facebook group and kind of chat. No. This is time for you to make little incremental changes in systems in your business. And that's what you use it for. After a month of that, it'll get easier. And then it gets easier, right? So that's what I would do. But to get yourself motivated, you have to be clear. So you have to define what you want, when you want it by. And you definitely need written goals for your business for 2017.
Okay.
And they need to be powerful, not just arbitrary, like, well, I think this sounds good. Let's do that. No, like, what does your family need to happen? What do your kids need their father to accomplish this year? You know, what one thing could you accomplish in 2017 that if you did it, everything else would be less important? What's that one thing that we can focus in on? And then we build our whole business plan and your whole calendar around that singular target.
Mm-hmm. I think you're, you know, writing it down such a big deal because you have so many goals bouncing around your head, you know. It's so hard to get intentional whenever, you know, you don't write it down and focus on one thing or, you know, a couple things.
Well, they're not even goals. They're dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, there's a huge difference. A goal has to have a date. That's the difference between a dream and a goal. It has to have a date. You also have to have accountability. You know, you have a lot of freedom owning your own business. So do I. Every Thursday, which is today, I had my mastermind meeting. I've been in it for almost 18 months. Every single week, I meet with other high-level business people to hold ourselves accountable. We set weekly goals. If we don't hit them, there's a punishment. And I don't have to do that. I do it to myself. Because you have to have accountability, and you have to have written sprint-based goals to achieve things. If you can master the art of setting and accomplishing goals, you can have anything you want in the world.
I swear, every time I talk to you, I'm all like, oh, yeah, okay. I promise you, I'm excited. the main reason, you know, I called, I was just making sure I'm right, I'm on track, you know, because like I said, it feels like I wanted to start this business with everything you taught and doing it the right way, you know, from the get-go. And it feels like lately I've been so busy, I haven't been implementing a lot of stuff, like upselling, for instance. We're on a job and I'm so freaking tired. We got two other jobs a day. I don't feel like upselling and having time to do it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And that's what I'm having trouble with. It's like, how am I going to
only upsell things that are big enough to justify an additional appointment? Then you won't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Don't even do it like that. Okay. Because when you get employees, they're not going to want to do it for the same reason. Upsell systems don't work because when you make an upsell, it's like punching your own self in the face.
Exactly.
It's like 6 p.m. and you're like, oh, they totally need their deck washed. Okay, let's punch myself in the face and spend another 2 hours here. Nobody wants to do that. And then you're going to turn around and get mad at your employees for not doing it when you yourself don't even want to do it. And I did that. That's why I know this stuff. So upsells are not selling a $10 bathroom mirror cleaning. Okay, upsells are things that are a couple $100 or more. They're things that justify an additional appointment. You upsell those, you put it on the calendar, and then you go back and do it. It's still awesome for your business. It's still great, and you can actually get your employees, when you have more of them, to rally behind something like that.
That's cool. I do, while we still have time, I don't want to hold you up too long. I know you're freaking busy, especially around Christmas time.
I'm not too busy to talk to you. I'm here for you. What do you got?
Yeah. Okay, so marketing-wise, I feel like we talked last time. You really inspired me to do a lot of mail-outs, you know, postcards and stuff like that. So I was doing pretty good with it. But, when we talked last time, you said that, you know, you do something like postcards. You can really kind of like, ooh, I want to do, you know, 20,000 in business. I just send double the postcards, right, because you know your percentage. But it's all over the place how when I've been sending them out, it's the return on it's not real, you know, clear. And I don't know what I possibly could be doing wrong with it. I'm doing, I'm setting them up just like, what's his name in New York, Chris?
Yeah, Chris Lambert.
The Windows Resource.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he, you know, he had that book about marketing.
Yeah,
and I send out postcards just like he said in there. Yeah, it's a very good book. Really good, by the way, because it was a digital version. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he goes, oh, well, since you were the early ones, I have a print version. He just mailed it to us. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool. He's great, man. And that book is just, he's really detail-oriented. And when I saw it, I'm like, are you serious? Like, you know how much time it took for him to even make that thing? Man.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's a sharp cookie. So let's talk about the direct mail then, okay? Because you've only been in business for like 5 seconds, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things about direct mail is knowing when to mail, right? So not all months are created equal. The other thing, so you have different elements. You have who are you sending it to? That's a whole topic we should talk about. Then you have what are you sending them? The copy, the color, the offer. Right? That's a whole giant thing to break down. And then you have how often are you sending to them? I call that farming, where you need to be dripping on people. You need to be touching them multiple times.
I'm definitely doing that.
Okay,
I'm sending
good.
To the one area for 4 months in a row, and same house is 4 months in a row. So that's helping.
And then the last big one is the seasonality, right? So there's ebbs and flows to every single service business all over the country. Nobody really has a business. Let's say you have a business that does $120,000 in revenue. That doesn't mean you make $10,000 a month for 12 months, usually, especially if it's residential, okay? What's going to happen is you're going to have little ups and little downs and then big ups and then big downs. And your mailers need to understand when those ups and downs are, right? There's certain times of the year when people walk out and it's spring and there's a season change, there's a psychological change, people are ready, and then they get your card. There's a totally different response elicited from that than when you're hitting them maybe when they're really stressed out and they got to get their kids' school clothes shopping and they're doing whatever and they're just not even thinking about their house. And so that's really important as well.
So should you just find those times or just maybe make notes of like,
well,
okay,
you kind of know them intuitively to some degree. You can also find them by talking to other more established companies in your area and saying, look, what does the ebb and flow of your season look like? For me, it seems like April and May are the busiest, for example, or whatever. What is your experience? Try to figure out when the pop is and then time your mailers, making sure they're going to the right people with the right message and the right offer at that time, and you'll have better results. You don't have to mail continuously. Chris didn't do it, you know, necessarily continuously. He's done it all over the years, but he would have a sequence. He knew when to drop them. He knew what zip code got what offer. They were highly personalized cards. He had a whole team of people behind it. I think they sent 1 million pieces of mail 1 year when he was doing it.
Wow.
They had it down, but I'll tell you, it takes a lot of money and time and patience to really perfect what you're doing. The other thing is, because you are doing it the right way, the next round, like next year, you're going to get a little tiny itty-bitty bump because people are going to remember in their brain that there's this Atlantis window, and then they're going to see your truck when you're getting gas, and then they're going to see your yard sign at their neighbors, and all of those components are part of the larger picture of what direct mail can do for you.
Gotcha.
And so you got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. I'm not saying throw good money at a bad strategy. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you're having enough results to keep going, then keep going. Keep drilling down on the messaging, the copy. When did you get the best response rates? What months were they? How big were the jobs? What kind of houses were the ones that actually called? Start refining who you're sending to. Those little improvements will make a huge difference.
That's cool. Yeah, it just takes time. I think you're right about it being, you know, such a young business, but I'm still trying to do it, you know, right off the get-go, you know what I mean? So I'm just kind of all over the place at the end of the year right now.
You want to have it all right as fast as possible. Everybody wants that. That's okay. Just slow down, be methodical, try to enjoy the ride a little bit. You are doing the right things. You know, don't forget to celebrate what you've accomplished. I mean, you had a $10,000 month already, and you just started 2 seconds ago. That's a big deal. You can go for years and don't do that. So you don't have to be prideful and cocky, but it's okay to pat yourself on the back and like, encourage yourself. I mean, don't just say how you're all over the place and you suck and all, because that's not true. You're doing great. Yeah. It takes time to build these businesses.
I don't know if I have any. I don't know if I have any more questions for you, Josh. I honestly, like, when I set up that appointment, I was just, my main deal was just, I kind of needed some just reassurance that I'm doing the right thing, you know.
You're doing the right thing in the sense, based on what I can tell in our short time together, you're doing the right thing in the sense that I can tell you're hungry. I can tell you want it. You've taken action. You're having results. But the obvious areas for improvement are really clear to me. And it's you have to have a written plan for 2017. You can't just let it happen. You can't just walk into the year and have business as usual. If you want to have extraordinary results this year, which I know you do, you can keep doing what you're doing. But in addition to that, we have to level you up as a person. The person that has to be worked on is you. And a big part of that is your time management, goal setting, holding yourself accountable. You don't have to go through the boot camp and watch 20 hours of stuff and stress yourself out. Don't do that. But take time every week to improve something and reach out for help when you need it and get in the Facebook group and ask questions. There's several of the people in there have million-dollar businesses right now. They're super smart. And you can ask them questions whenever you want. So if you have a dedicated time each week, it makes it really easy to do this. And then based on your goal for 2017, we can't even reverse engineer a strategy for you until we have that in place.
So figure out what am I doing in 2017.
I have to know exactly where the ship is going to land December 31st, 2017, before I can even talk to you about a plan to get there. And everything else is kind of like murky and gray area, and I don't know if it's important or not until we know what the plan is. The plan is what gets to tell you what the most important things are to focus on.
Well, the one thing I have in my head is, well, I did a $10,000 month this year. I want to do a $20,000 month next year, and I want to have a second truck that my guy can take out, and I want another guy, so I want a helper for him. So that would be my goal for 2017.
That's not specific enough, though. That's honestly a really bad way to word a goal, just to be honest. Making goals is difficult when you haven't done it before. A goal has to be razor sharp, like a razor blade. Okay, I need specifics. And when you say things like, and I deal with people every day on this, it's hard. When I say, what do you want? And they tell me, well, I want to get another truck. Or I say, what do you want? And they say, oh, I want to have $1 million business. The problem is, that's not really what they want. What they're saying is, to get what I want, which I'm not verbalizing right now, but to get what I want, I think I need another truck to get whatever that thing is. Like, the truck is kind of a how, but we still haven't decided what we want. So your why can be very personal, very specific, razor specific, and it could be a personal income goal. It could say, I want to make, $83,000 in personal income while taking 2 vacations this year at these dates and these dates and within this time frame, and here's my accountability plan and whatever, right? But it has to be something that gets you really excited, because when it gets hard, you're still going to crawl out of bed and go towards it. So, and then when we figure out how to make that goal happen for you, then we say, all right, well, we're going to need to have a $20,000 month here. We're going to have a truck probably come into the equation here. And then we can prepare for those things, because we know that that's what we need to get to the goal. But getting the truck isn't the goal. Having the $20,000 month, that's not the goal. That's like a how on your way towards a goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
So spend some real time on it. I mean, talk to your family about it. It's worth kind of mulling over.
I don't know specific goal wise, but I work at the fire department. I'm a paramedic, and my mind is a 5-year goal to be full time in Atlanta's window cleaning.
Okay, that's a good starting.
I'm about tired of people in the ambulance.
Well, then what we got to do is define exactly what your business would have to look like exactly for that to be a reality for you. Okay, and then we're going to make a 12-month goal out of that 5-year goal. A 5-year goal is not going to help you very much. It's too long, too far away. we want to break it down into, at the most, a 12-month goal. And so it'll be, you know, a step towards that bigger 5-year goal. Bite-sized
chunks. So basically figure out how much I need to make in 2017.
Right. For you to be on pace to hit your 5-year goal, what has to happen in 2017?
Exactly.
That's what we got to find out. Because what if you can hit it and you don't need to have a $20,000 month? Or you don't need a second truck. I mean, then we really were focused on the wrong thing, which didn't even help us get what really we ultimately want.
That's true.
The best plans are really simple. We want to keep it nice and clean and simple.
I do have another question.
Sure.
If I'm taking, right now I'm taking too much out of the business as far as money goes. But I need that to survive. As soon as, you know, I got out of the business with my dad, he basically fired me as soon as I moved to like double the size of my house. So I had to scramble to make the money. So I need to take $3,000 to $4,000 a month out of the business. So I want to keep, I know it's too much now, but I keep thinking the more I grow, I'm going to keep taking the $3,000 to $4,000 and not increase it for a while so I can grow faster. Do you think it's a good idea, or you think, I mean, because I have to have that $4,000 a month now.
Well,
you know?
If you have to, you have to, and that's just the reality, and that's okay. But the more money.
Really got in over my head with a bigger house, you know, probably would be the best to sell it and downsize, but it's not going to happen. You know?
Well, not without your wife revolting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't take away the awesome house now.
I know.
It's good that you're being honest and upfront with yourself about kind of that situation. And so what we got to do is put some boundaries in place so that you don't take more out. You know, it's very hard sometimes for people to resist sucking their business dry. And your business growth is like a teeter-totter. And on the one side, you have money, and on the other side, you have scale, or how fast you can grow, right? And the more money you have, the faster you can scale, period. The less money you have, the slower you scale. It's just a reality. But I think you're okay with that. I mean, you have a 5-year plan to be full-time. That's a long time. I mean, we could accomplish that in 6 months if I came down to Texas and actually got involved with it.
You think okay. so?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You think I could make $10,000 a month, put in my pocket?
Of course you can. Of course you can.
In 6 months, really?
Yes.
So if that was my goal, what would be the strategy for that?
Well, we got to reverse engineer. So if you need to make $10,000 in personal income, we got to figure out what the total monthly revenue is for you to make $10,000 in personal income. So for example, off the top of my head, okay, so this isn't perfect, but off the top of my head, if you're doing, do you do roof cleaning too, by the way, or just windows and pressure cleaning?
I'm about to get into it. I don't know if I want to, though. I'm trying to get away from walking on roofs. We clean debris off roofs. But not, we do most of it from the ground with poles and brushes. So.
Okay, forget I asked. The point is if you have $10,000 in personal income, you're going to want to probably have $40,000 in revenue, right? Because you're going to have to pay for middle managers, and you're going to have a whole team of people, right? So is it possible to build a business that does $40,000 in revenue? Well, yeah. All we do is take the $40,000, divide it by your average ticket, which is, I don't know, what do you say it is?
Some months 330, some months 400.
Let's use 400 just because it's a round number. Usually you want to use the lower number to be conservative. So you need to have 100 customers a month hire you, right? Which is 25 customers a week. So now we have to figure out what is a really reliable lever we can pull on to typically get 100 new clients a week. We figure out what that is, and we figure out how much it costs, right? And we build in all those numbers. You figure out how many people you need to help you do it. And then you just start executing on it. I mean, everything you've done to get what you have now, wouldn't you have more if you just did double of everything you already did, or triple? That's the way that it works.
Yeah. I struggle with that. I just struggle with that a little bit because I look and I'm like, well, like say AdWords, I get a lot of my business from AdWords. I spend about $1,000 a month, but I'm only hitting, you know, the Woodlands, Spring, a couple areas around me. So I guess if I double that to increase to other areas, that would double it.
Maybe.
But not, increasing the budget per se for that area, but increase it for, you know, ad areas.
Yeah, AdWords is tricky because it's so different for everybody. And luckily for you, you're in a humongous metroplex area with money everywhere and a gajillion people everywhere, right? So AdWords is something that can work for you. Typically, I teach people that the internet in general is a form of what I call reactive marketing, meaning it's really difficult to control how many deals you get from it. Like there's a ceiling. Like, no matter what, you're never going to get more than, you know, 7 deals a month from AdWords or from Angie's List. Maybe you get 10 calls, but it's never going to be 112 calls. You know what I'm saying? So because you can't control the amount of deal flow produced from it, I don't really build those types of things into my primary marketing plans. But in your case, maybe you can. And you need to look at what you spent on AdWords and what the total revenue was and figure out that percentage, figure out how many customers you got, what the customer acquisition cost was, and then we could have that discussion and see. Because it's possible because you're in such a huge market. I'm not an AdWords expert at all, and I've never used AdWords to grow my business. But I know other people that do and do very well with it.
So you were mainly postcards, right?
We were heavy on, postcards and like door hangers and really boots on the ground type tactics early on. The last few years I had my company, we did hardly any direct mail because we couldn't keep up with our own growth. And the reason that happened was because I became obsessed with two things, my employee culture and my customer life cycle. Those were really the two things I racked my head around, is how can I make people fall in love with our business on a personal level where they really are like, these guys are cool. Like, I enjoy them being in my home. Like, I can't not tell people about them. I really worked on crafting that experience. And we would ask for referrals 6 times throughout the process. When we started doing that, our referrals 10x'd. We got 10 times more referrals than we got before just by asking more times in a strategic way. So we had massive growth by having staff that loved their job and were loved on by us. They knew that we cared. I tried to help them reach their personal goals. If they had credit cards to pay off, we'd try to build a budget and help them get their credit cards paid off. If they wanted to buy a house, I'd coach them through on how to get qualified for a mortgage to buy a house. Whatever. That was a big deal. All the employee incentives and rewards and things we did for fun was huge. And then the customer experience. You know, those are the real winners. But when you're a brand new business and you don't have that many customers, you don't have employees yet, you got to just get out there and hustle and grind. And you got to build relationships and kind of fire the machine up and get some momentum. And that can be done a lot of ways. Typically, a business your size doesn't do that much direct mail yet because it's expensive.
Yeah, I've been spending, about probably $1,300 a month on direct mail. I sent out 5,000 of them, a couple months ago? And I got the same responses, $500 worth of door hangers, 1,200 of them. So I'm having issues with that. But I've been definitely putting money into them, but it's just been very unpredictable.
Focus on the things that are the most predictable at first. And when you have a big budget and you have a team of people, then you start playing. Direct mail might be a game that you're not ready to play yet at a high level. I'm just saying consider that. If you know you can do door hangers and it's cheaper and you get a certain result, then do those. I know it's more labor intensive, but do it anyway because it's predictable. We need to know that we're going to be able to get the result we need to hit our goal to stay on pace.
I just put 4,000 door hangers out for right before it was bad. I think it was bad timing. Middle of December, 4,000 door hangers. I got one job so far. That was a week and a half ago.
Well, what does the copy say on the door hanger? What's the offer? Why should people care?
What did I have on the offer? I can't even remember. I think it was like a 20 windows, $199, like inside and out. I didn't do like super, low price or anything, like 100 foot of gutter cleaning, like $99. House, soft wash, $249 up to 2,500 square foot house. Those are the three offers I had on there.
Was there expiration date on it?
Yeah, December 31st was the expiration on there. I have a call to action, call today. I put on there, some trust badges, all works guaranteed, that we accept credit cards.
That sounds good.
And I specified it. I live in a place called the Woodlands.
Yeah.
It's north of Houston. And basically.
Is
that where Chris Martinez is? No, he's over in Cy-Fair.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually where I work at the fire department. It's about 45 minutes away. But there's villages out here, and it's a real cool community. And basically, I put on each village has a name, like Cochran's Crossing, Sterling Ridge. And so on the door hangers, I put a picture of, the front of there. Every village has these signs. So I got a, village of Sterling Ridge, and I put window cleaning in Sterling Ridge, and I got my logo and everything all over it. So that was my strategy.
It sounds good.
It's worked pretty good so far.
It sounds good. It just sounds like you're right. Maybe it was a timing issue. What I would do if I were you is double down on it and do another door hanger that says something like offer extended, you know, due to the overwhelming response, you know, we're extending the offer, something like that. Because people probably just, with the stress of holidays and Christmas and stuff, they probably just figured, oh crap, I can't deal with this right now. And because you have an expiration date, they just think it's over. But I bet if you hit them again after things are settled down, they might be more inclined. So I wouldn't shy away from it. I would hit it harder. And just be careful with the timing next time. That's what I would do.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I messed up because before I even started the business or anything, we had scheduled a cruise for December here. And it was during that week, and my guy basically, Drew, he ran the business for that week, and he passed up the door hangers while I was gone and stuff. So that's kind of a bad timing, I think, for everything.
Well, that's okay. You got a really good head on your shoulders. You know, I'm really impressed with what you've done so far. I'm nothing but optimistic for you. The market you're at, the experience you have, your understanding of things, you're very teachable, you're trying to put things in, you're going to be fine. You're going to do great. Just get a hold on your time management so that you can not spend 5 years getting your goal. You can do it in 2 years. You know, if you get a hold of changing yourself, becoming higher level, just as a person, a business leader, everything will start to come easier for you. But you know, I don't see any looming terrible thing that's making me worried for you at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy what you're saying, though, about it possibly being 6 months, you know.
It's just math, though. You know, we're very emotional about things like this. So we think it feels impossible, but that doesn't mean it is. I mean, I'm not saying it would be easy. You know, we'd have to build the plan out, and maybe it's 8 months. I don't know. You might not have enough cash in the business to do it that quick because you'd have to spend a lot of money to scale up that fast. But the point is decide what you want and then figure out how to get there just using math and all of it's taught in the boot camp. You know, how to reverse engineer the plan, figure out your ebbs and flows of your season, build the month over month revenue chart, and then find your average ticket, find out how many new customers you need per month and per week, and then figure out what lever you can pull to spit out a customer and how much did the lever cost, and you know, all that stuff. It's coming together for you. It's a little mumbled in your brain, but you're gonna get it, and it's gonna fall into place, and it's gonna work.
Okay, so January's coming up. I've been going for 6 months or so. This would be the perfect time to pick up the phone and get people on the schedule for January. In the last 6 months or so,
maybe you might have a timing issue, kind of like what you did before. You know, I don't know about that, but. It's always a good time to pick up the phone. It is. You need to be on the phone connecting with people. Just make sure that when you do pick up the phone, you have the right mindset, like we talked about in the beginning of our call. How do I do this better? How do I make this more valuable to the client? How do I make them feel more comfortable? How do I get more results, right? And be really intentional about how you do everything that you do.
Intentionality. I got to remember that.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.